Let's start our meeting this afternoon by singing number 246. Number 246.
From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a dove of sweet retreat.
Let's pray. Our God and Father, we just give thanks for this. I know you've all just had a nice meal, afternoon. It's time for a nap. So if you fall asleep, that's okay. But I'll try to keep you awake. I want to talk today about people, beautiful people, and faith. If some of you have heard some of these thoughts before, that's okay. It's good to be reminded of these things. So we want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to look at various beautiful people that we find in the scriptures. And our first beautiful person is David. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 12. Now, David, he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. I think there's only two people in the Bible that we're told have a beautiful countenance. That's David and Abigail. And I think we'll be talking a little bit about Abigail a little later. But David was a man of integrity, and most people liked him. He had faith in God, and he had a beautiful countenance. And he was a man after God's own heart. And many people knew that he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But we find that Saul was chasing David through the mountains and through the wilderness and trying to kill him, to destroy him, chasing him like an animal. And David's faith was being tested. Well, as I look around without my glasses on, I see many beautiful people here today. And I know that many of us have experienced or are experiencing some very harsh circumstances. Your faith is being tested. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I believe that we will see David in heaven because he had faith. And David, he won't be there because he did some good works. He won't be there because he led God's people and did a good job. He won't be there because he offered so many animal sacrifices and worship to God. David will be there because he was justified by faith. People from the Old Testament and people from the New Testament, the church dispensation, were saved the same way. We are justified by faith. And so Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have justified by faith. That is, our sin has been taken and removed, and it's not even assigned to us as guilt anymore. We're justified by faith. And because our sin is gone, because our sin is not held against us, we can have peace with God. We don't have to worry that we have to do a little extra work to get to heaven or to keep our salvation. We have assurance. We have the peace of God. We have peace with God. So we have faith and we have peace. Well, most of us have faith. Most of us here have faith. But sometimes we know that tough things happen and some difficult things happen and our faith can be shaken. And it's at times like this when our peace, it seems like it has somehow disappeared. And then we become anxious, we become frustrated, and maybe confusion would start to settle in down into our soul. And we may struggle with trust issues with God, because our faith is being put to the test. Well, I believe that faith is to believe that even when the times are tough and you see no possible way out of the difficulty, faith is to believe that God has the best for you in any circumstance that you might find yourself. And regardless of human results in a situation, God has the best at heart for you. I believe there's two gods in this world, and we have to deal with both of those gods in this life. We have Satan. He's a god with a small g. He's the god of this world. But then there's the Lord Jesus, the God, the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And both, there's a battle, both of them, for your soul. And Jesus wants to save you. So because Jesus wants you to save you and to have you continue on in the Christian pathway. And he wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to have fellowship with him so you can give him the glory. And Jesus wants you to be with him in heaven. Well, Satan, he wants to torment you. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to make you doubt your salvation. Maybe you are saved and you know the Lord is your Savior and you're sure of it, but when difficult times come in and you have certain feelings in your heart, Maybe you doubt your salvation. Well, Satan, he wants to make you do that. And he wants to destroy your usefulness for the Lord Jesus. Well, David, he had a beautiful countenance, but he suffered many disappointments. You too can be beautiful amidst the sufferings and troubles and sadness that you may experience in your life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 29. We'll come back to David, but right now we're going to look at a few other people who are beautiful and see if we can learn some things from these people. In Genesis 29, we have Rachel, and she was a beautiful person. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 17. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Rachel was beautiful. She was well-favored. That means she had a nice figure. She was outgoing. She was everything that Jacob wanted in a woman. However, Jacob was only looking at the outward appearance. Rachel followed Jacob. Jacob was a man of faith in God. But Rachel was an idolater. She hid idols in her luggage, little idols that she could worship when no one else was around. She was the kind of person who would come to a Bible conference like this with a deck of playing cards in her purse, or maybe a Ouija board in her trunk. She was connected closer to the demon world than she realized. But Leah, she was introverted. She was quiet. She was shy. She was just plain looking. But she really desired her husband. And she wanted her husband to love her. And she wanted him to spend time with her. Well, God had a special blessing for Leah. She was the mother of Judah. Judah was the patriarch of the kingly tribe. And we find that Jesus was a descendant of Leah. And that is why God allowed Laban to cheat Jacob and to give him Leah for his wife. Jacob, he could cheat his brother Esau out of the firstborn promise of a kingdom. But he could not take away the firstborn heritage of Leah. It was God's plan and His sovereignty that Leah should be blessed. And so let's go over to Proverbs 31. I want to speak to the guys for a minute. Guys, when you look for a wife, look at the girl's faith. Does she fear the Lord? Will she be a proper helper for you? Does she have the same ideals and desires to live the Christian life? Does she have the same devotion to Christ as you do? And then there's other practical things. Have you discussed your spiritual beliefs? And do your beliefs match the Word of God? When you get married and you have different beliefs and you try to walk together, it's difficult. But have you discussed your financial background and your financial expectations in life? And then do you both conduct your financial finances with godly integrity? These are practical things that are good to find out about a person before you get involved in a relationship. And what about the headship of the man and the subjection of the woman? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, Jacob found out that there was more to married life than Rachel's beauty and her favorable body. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So we have beautiful Rachel, Now, and let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 14. And we have another beautiful person here. And this beautiful person was Absalom. Second Samuel chapter 14 and verse 25. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. He was beautiful. Everybody admired him. But what kind of a person was Absalom? He was deceitful. He was proud. He was rebellious. And he had murder in his heart. He was leading an insurrection and tried to kill his own father, the king of Israel. Girls, I'll speak to you for a minute. You should not decide on your man by his looks, or his strength, or his abilities, or maybe his humor, or for his devotedness to you at the moment. You also need to consider his faith, and his honesty, and his character, his devotedness to Christ. And you need to consider his subjection to Jesus Christ as his head. Because if you are going to be subject to him as your head, wouldn't it be nice for him to be subject to Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. I'll just read that. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. We each need to be subject to our head in the sphere in which God has placed us. If the Lord Jesus was not subject to his head, the Father, we wouldn't be here today. And the man is a picture of Christ, and the woman a picture of the church. The church should be subject to Christ as the head. The man should be subject to Christ as his head. And so the woman is subject to the husband as her head. And if we get out of that sphere of God's, what God has placed us in, it causes problems. And so if the man is not subject to Christ, it's going to cause difficulty in the marriage. And how can you expect the woman to be subject to her head other than if she's obedient to the Scriptures? Well, 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we'll look at another beautiful person. 2 Samuel 11, and this is Bathsheba. And in 2 Samuel 11, in verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Well, in this story, I'm sure we all know this story, but the beauty of Bathsheba, it got her into moral trouble. So be careful, guys and girls, that you do not misuse your beauty and get yourself into moral trouble. And just remember that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere you go, every situation you get yourself into, the Holy Spirit goes with you. And so we need to watch our eyes and our ears and our lips and our hands and our feet, like the children's song says. We need to watch what we do. Be careful what we say. Be careful where we go. Because you are taking God into every situation that you allow yourself into. Let's go to Esther chapter 2. So we've had David and Rachel and Absalom and Bathsheba. Now here we go to Esther chapter 2, and we find Esther as a beautiful person. Esther chapter 2 and verse 7. And he, that is Mordecai, brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Well, God used the beauty of Esther to be instrumental in saving the nation of Israel from annihilation in the days of King Ahasuerus. And King Ahasuerus, at this time, he was reigning from India even unto Ethiopia. And as we have seen in our examples, beauty can be beneficial and beauty can be detrimental. And so we need to use the qualities that God has given to us, the qualities that God has given to you, you need to use them wisely for His honor, and so that you can glorify God in your body. Lord Jesus paid a tremendous price, and He owns you, and He wants you to glorify Him with your body. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3. And we have Abigail. Abigail is another beautiful person. And remember, David and Abigail were the two people who, it says, had a beautiful countenance. 1 Samuel 25. And we'll read from verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Nabal's name, it means dolt. It's been many years since I've used that word. It's an insult. And it's an offensive term that deliberately insults somebody's intelligence. Something like, you imbecile, you big dummy, you moron. Those are things that my mother used to wash my mouth out with soap when I used those words. But that's what Nabal means. And that's the type of person Nabal was. And Nabal was a churlish man, it tells us. And churlish means that he was cruel and hard-hearted. He was a heartless man. Later, one of his own servants called him a son of Belial. He's an ungodly and wicked man, a son of Belial. Nabal was like a man, he was likely like a man who would spend hours in front of an online video game, be fighting and killing people without a conscience. That's how Nabal was. He was dumb. She spent more time partying and drinking than he did building a relationship with his beautiful wife. Many marriages are in trouble these days because some husbands, they become addicted to video games. I don't know that anybody here is, but that's just a fact. Well, you probably don't want to name your kid Nabal. But Abigail is a nice name. Abigail means a source of joy. And Abigail, she was beautiful to look at. And she had a beautiful spirit within her. And it seems like she married the wrong person. But you know what? If you marry the wrong person, you're still required to love and respect that person. You need to stay with them. And the man needs to love the wife. And the wife needs to respect her husband, even if you think you married the wrong person. You need to stay with them, except in the case of fornication, where they have committed adultery. And even then, sometimes, you can stay with them. 1 Samuel chapter 25, and let's go to verse 2. And there was a man in Maon, this is Nabal, whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Okay, I want to give you a little bit of background about Nabal. Much of it's in this verse we read. Nabal was a very rich man. He lived in prosperity. He had 3,000 sheep. He had 1,000 goats. But at this time, his sheep were in the wilderness with the herdsmen. And David and his men, they were in the same region where Nabal's men were. Nabal's men were caring for the sheep. Along comes David and his men. And David, he was very kind to Nabal's men. And he helped protect Nabal's men and their animals. And David was very kind to them. Well, later on, David, he was over in Carmel. And that's where Nabal was shearing his sheep at this time. And David and his men, they were in trouble because they were out in the wilderness. They had no food. They were hungry. They were very hungry. Had nothing to eat. But David had faith in God. He knew that God would provide food for him and his men there in the wilderness. He didn't know how it would happen, but he knew God would provide for him. Well, Nabal had the food that God was going to use to provide for David. David sent his men to ask Nabal for food in the name of David. They asked very nicely, but Nabal, he refused. Nabal pretended to not even know David. And Nabal said bad things about David and David's men. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, "Grievous words stir up anger." Well, the grievous words that Nabal used against David and his men, it stirred up anger. It made David very angry. And David prepared 400 of his men, and they prepared themselves to go down and kill every last man of Nabal's household. 1 Samuel 25, verse 13. David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. While God had promised to David to raise him up to the throne of Israel, Satan was attempting to destroy David because Satan knew that David was God's man, a man after God's own heart. Satan knew that great blessing was going to come to all the world through David. And so Satan was trying to destroy David. Well, David was distressed. He was distressed, especially when everyone was turned against him. And it must have seemed to David that God did not care about him. Here, God had anointed David to be the king of Israel. And here he was running for his life, running from the government of Saul. And then people like Nabal, someone who he had just been so kind to Nabal and his men, and Nabal rejects him. It seemed like no one cared for his soul. Don't we feel like this sometimes when life gets tough? Nobody cares about me. And we become depressed. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus wants to be sure, wants you to be sure, that no amount of troubles and suffering and sickness and sadness and trauma can separate you from the love of God. And God proved his love for us. In 1 John 4 and verse 9 it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." God proved his love for us. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to be punished, to take the punishment of your sin, my sin, upon himself. I deserve to die for my sins, but the Lord Jesus, he became my substitute. He became my redeemer to pay the price for my sins. He bore our sins and he died for me and he shed his blood. And as we read this morning in our chapter of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. You and I, we deserve to be punished in hell. But it is the goodness of God that brought you to salvation. And it's the goodness of God that will keep you as a believer today in your distress. And he will keep you in your depression. And he will keep you in your desolation. And at the same time, Satan is trying to drag you down into situations of despair while Jesus is holding on to you. Who's going to win the battle? Who's going to win the battle between Satan and the Lord? Well, we know the Lord Jesus has won the victory. He has power over Satan and death and hell. And you are kept by the power of God. And Jesus can never lose the battle to keep your soul from Satan. You don't have to go out and commit suicide. The Lord Jesus died for you. You don't have to turn to drugs or alcohol, or homosexuality. You need to accept God's goodness. And God's goodness will keep you during the tough times of life. Jesus offers you freedom from your sin. He offers you freedom from your guilt. He offers you freedom from your depression. And he offers you forgiveness of sin. Please accept his forgiveness. Maybe there's something that you've done that you just can't seem to forget about, and you feel so guilty about what you've done and how it's disturbed your fellowship with the Lord Jesus and your quiet time, and you have difficulty concentrating because of the guilt that you have for what you have done. Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He wants to take that sin away from you, to take that burden away from you. Accept his forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to carry that burden of guilt and depression around with you. You can share it with the Lord Jesus. Cast your care on him because he cares for you. Well, Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous words stir up anger." Well, we know that the grievous words that Nabal said to David stirred up anger in David's heart. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 25 and verse 14. "But one of Nabal's young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. The beautiful Abigail was about to have all her household destroyed by David. She knew her husband was an unreasonable and an overbearing man. She knew he was a son of Belial, but she was faithful to Nabal. And she respected Nabal, even though he had never earned her respect. Sometimes we think that we have to earn a person's respect or to earn their love. Well, Abigail was a godly wife. And Abigail set out to be a peacemaker between David and Nabal. Abigail brought a peace offering, a gift of food for David's hungry men. She came to David and she took the sin of Nabal's ignorance as her own. And she took the guilt of Nabal's offensive behavior as if it were her own doings. And she came and she apologized for not being there when David came to ask for food. And she gave a soft answer and turned away the wrath of Nabal, or turned away the wrath of David. And so that's what the verse in Proverbs 15:1 said, a soft answer turns away wrath. 1 Samuel 25, verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. Abigail, she took all this food. She was going to be the source of David's supply of food that David had faith that God would supply to them. And so when Abigail came and she saw David, she bowed down before him. And she said in verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Abigail gave to David the honor that is due to the man who is going to be the king of Israel. The honor that her husband refused to give. Husbands, we need to love and honor our wives, even if they don't seem to respect us. Well, later Nabal, he had a heart attack and died. And so beautiful David took beautiful Abigail to be his wife. I want to encourage each one here. I want to encourage you all to have a beautiful spirit and to live by faith and to speak to one another with soft words. Man looks on the outward appearance and he sees the beautiful countenance. But it's the beautiful spirit of faith that's going to help you to get through life. We've been speaking of faith. And at the end of Paul's life, he said in 2nd, maybe you look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. At the end of Paul's life, he said this. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Do you and I live by faith in God? If you were to die, and you're going to have an epitaph written on your tombstone, could it be said of you like Paul? He kept the faith. Or maybe like David, you'd have written, he was a man after God's own heart. Or like Esther, she obtained favor in the sight of all. Or like Abigail, she was a woman of good understanding. Don't give up in this life. Don't give up on God. Allow Him to have the lordship and control in your life. Trust Him. Don't let the circumstances of life destroy your faith. And so continue to keep the faith with a beautiful countenance. I want to sing. I'm sorry that I'm not going to talk for a whole hour. But let's go to number 298. And this is a long hymn, and it usually gets sung very slowly, and I don't want to do that today. So we'll sing the first verse and see how we do, and then I may have to read a couple verses. Oh, haste away, my brethren dear, and come to Canaan shore.
We'll meet and sing forever.
Let's pray. Our God.